Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin back in verse 39, which we looked at briefly last time, and we're going to continue through the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 39. This is God's word. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I want you to think for just a minute about the fact that God is infinite. Okay, now, we know that word, but it's basically impossible for us to wrap our minds around that reality. God is infinite. Try and think of something else that is infinite. Anything come to mind? No? Well, what about space? No, space is finite. Well, it's huge. Yes, 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 it is very huge. It's larger than we can comprehend, but it's still limited. Well, how far out can we go? Don't even know. But space is part of God's creation. Okay, well, let me think. I can't think of anything. That's why it's so hard to grasp infinite. Because it means absolutely without limit. God is beyond space and time. That doesn't mean that God doesn't act in space and in time, but space and time and matter and energy are all a part of the creation of an infinite God who spoke things into being. That infinite God, knows everything, has all power. He is infinite in holiness, in righteousness, in wisdom, in strength. And that infinite God who created all things became one of us. The miracle of the incarnation. He became a person, a man. Really. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. God became a man. And when God became a man, he started out not as this fully formed thing that beamed down from outer space. He started out as a zygote. He started out in the earliest stages of Mary's pregnancy. And he grew inside her womb until he was born and placed in a manger. The eternal God wrapped in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Blows our mind. It should. Because it is absolutely amazing. We see that same principle continuing to play out here. First of all, where we started in today's reading, the child grew and became strong. He didn't start out in the womb speaking to his mother. As a little baby, the one upon whom all life depends became dependent upon his mother to feed him, to change him, to hold him and rock him. He became one of us. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast, according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, apparently without asking them for permission. Apparently without telling them his plan. And he made an executive decision to do what his father said. Jesus, who would do so many miracles, would later be asked, how do you do this stuff? Where do you get this authority? Jesus had the authority to do what he did because he was obedient to his father. He said, I only do what the father tells me to do. The reason that people have authority is because they are under authority. If you want to be the boss, you better find a good boss. Because otherwise, you're not in authority. You're a usurper. You're in rebellion. And God will deal with that sin. But here, Jesus was doing the will of his father. And when he was brought to Jerusalem, it was an opportunity to spend some time in his father's house, the temple. The place that God had put his presence supernaturally. If you wanted back in this time, if you wanted to meet with God, his presence was manifested in an extraordinary way where the Ark of the Covenant was inside the holiest of holies with a curtain that separated even the priests from the presence of God. Because God is holy and we are not inclined that way. Once a year, the high priest could go behind the curtain into the holiest of holies with blood because we deserve to die. And the sacrifices represented our need for a cleansing that could only come through the death of a sacrificial animal. All that was pointing to Jesus, who is now the Lamb of God, come into the world to offer himself as the sacrifice for our sins. So here's what they didn't get. They are at the temple because that's as close as they can get to where God is. And God has just walked in and sat down with them and is talking with them. Did they pick up on it? Did they say, oh my goodness, we should worship you? No, not at all. But they were fascinated. Because here's a 12-year-old boy, and he's not only asking really amazing questions, but they were amazed at his answers. Jesus, throughout his earthly ministry, is going to ask people questions. And often, when they ask him questions, he'll respond with a question. Because he's teaching through his questions.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Jesus stayed behind doing the Father's will, spending time in his Father's house. And his parents are on the way home and they're, you know, 12-year-old. He's just in the entourage somewhere, I'm sure. Okay? Have you seen Jesus? No, I haven't. No, I'm sure he's okay. And they keep going, and at the end of the day, they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Panic! Imagine being Mary, who loves this boy, and you've lost him. Where is he? Some of you have been, as parents, in the predicament of realizing you've misplaced a child. It's a horrible feeling. So they searched, and of course, right off the bat, they knew where to go, and they found. No. It says, after 3 days, they found him. After 3 days. I wonder how much sleep they got in between those days. I'm guessing not a lot. They're looking and looking and looking. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them. He wasn't just talking. He listened to what they have to say and asking them questions. But as I said earlier, as the text says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus didn't just ask questions, Jesus had answers. He's 12 years old. Okay, so I guess apparently at this point, he's finished learning and growing. If you can amaze the teachers at age 12, you probably don't have anything left to learn. Verse 32, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus grew in wisdom. So he didn't know it all at age 12? No, because Jesus isn't just God, he's also man. He wasn't full grown when he was born. He started out as a baby and he grew in wisdom and stature. He was getting bigger, taller, stronger, and his understanding was growing. And in favor with God and men. Now this is kind of a throwback to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, where Samuel is said to have grown similarly. Not the exact same words, but it's 3 out of 4. I can believe that about Samuel, but it's hard for me to fit it into my mind about Jesus needing to grow up. It's really hard when I read in Hebrews about he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He became perfect, whole, complete by the things that he went through. Wow. How can the infinite God become a man? And how can he allow himself to start out as a child who has needs, needs to be fed, needs to be cared for? You see, he was not some mythical comic book hero. God became a man. And the difference that is inescapable is that he was truly sinless. Even when people accused him of sinning, even when Mary, his blessed mother, thought he had done the wrong thing. Take a look. When his parents saw him, verse 48, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And Jesus, of course, responded, "Oh, Mom, I'm so sorry. I lost track of time." Is that what he said? Jesus said, "Oh, I should have asked your permission." Is that what he said? No. Jesus said, "Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And they said, "Oh, okay, of course, silly us." No, they did not understand what he was saying to them. Mary and Joseph did not have full understanding of what was going on, even though God had communicated to both of them that this is God's son. Even though God had communicated to both of them that this is the Savior of the world. Even though God had blessed them with this opportunity to care for this child, Mary is still upset because Jesus wasn't living up to her expectations. He was doing the Father's will, but it wasn't the way she would envision it. And so Jesus said, well, if you don't get it, I guess I'm just going to stay here. No, he didn't do that. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus was obedient to his parents. How many of you have ever found it hard to obey an authority figure? How many of you have ever found it hard to obey an authority figure even when you knew deep down that they were right? Jesus was obedient to his parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. He obeyed them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Mary didn't get it when Jesus said that at the temple, but she's thinking about it. And I'd like to say that by the time Jesus was 16, she had it figured out. But that's not the case. We find in Mark's gospel that when she hears that Jesus is so busy doing ministry, only doing what the Father tells him, but he's so busy doing ministry that he isn't eating, she is beside herself. My boy is not eating. He's out of his mind. That's what she says. Read Mark's gospel. He's out of his mind. Fellas, calls his brothers and says, we got to go get him. We're going to bring him back home. I'm going to feed him some good food. We're going to rehabilitate him. And so Mary and Jesus' brothers hiked to where he was, and it was so crowded they couldn't get inside, and they sent a message. Jesus won't even go out. Why? He says why. He says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father. That's my family. That's my family. That's what Jesus said. Pastor, do you think he was right? Of course he's always right. He's always right. But that's really hard for us to process. But that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, you got to hate your father and your mother and even your own life. Doesn't mean you want bad things to happen to them. It means nothing must compete with your obedience to God. You do what the Father says. So why did Jesus go back to Nazareth and obey his parents? Because that's what the Father said. But I want you to understand, fully God became fully man so that we might have new life. He would go to the cross in our place. He would die, literally die for us. And unlike us, he didn't deserve to. Unlike us, he never, ever sinned. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.